Not only are you building a church in the city of Hue, but you're also going to be building a church in northern Vietnam, one of the most secularized parts of that nation and one of the most secularized nations in the world. In some cases, the Hmong tribe in northern Vietnam have not even seen a Westerner since the war, and in many cases have never heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It is important as a church that we make every effort we can to spread the good news of Jesus around the world. Amen? Amen. You guys were excited about that just a little bit. Let's get more excited about that. Amen? Amen? So you did that last week too, because not only as a church did you pack 843 shoeboxes, as a church family, 843 shoeboxes. We typically average on a Sunday morning about 600 and 650 people on a Sunday morning, including kids and teens. That means in an average worship attendance, you were a times one and a half that in the number of shoeboxes that you guys brought into the church. Now, not only that, but we also handled 10,993 shoeboxes, including ours and other area churches, as a drop-off site here last week. And two tractor-trailer semi-trucks pulled out of the church on Monday, filled with those shoeboxes. So as a church, you touched almost 11,000 lives of children. But not only that, those boxes go to bless an entire village in some cases. So it's exponential what God has done through you through Operation Christmas Child. How exciting is that? God is good. We serve a good and amazing God. Yeah. Welcome to the Advent season. It is that time of the year where we live with anticipation of the coming of the Christ child. And this is where we are today. It's a four-week and four-Sunday experience that leads up to the precipice of Christmas Eve. I remember as a kid, the night before I'd go to sleep on Christmas Eve and waiting for Santa Claus the next day to bring all those packages. And I was just filled with so much anticipation, I could hardly go to sleep. I couldn't function. My mind was racing. I was wondering about this and that. I was waiting for the reindeer hooves on the roof, and I was waiting for the ho-ho-hos and the jingle bells to go sounding off in the night. And I was certain I was going to lay there awake all night long so I could finally meet the man in the Santa Claus outfit. By the way, yesterday I was covered in red head to toe, and some people said I looked like Santa Claus. But that was for another reason. So where was I for a moment? What a day yesterday was. So I just couldn't function. I was wide awake. My eyes were wide open. And the next morning, it didn't take very much for me to get up. I was wide awake. My eyes were wide open with anticipation for a day full of joy. I mean, as a kid, I understood what it meant. Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. Mom and Dad, let's go. I'm ready to open up some packages and some presents and to see. I want to see the cookie crumbs on the plate that Santa was there to eat the cookies. And man, I was ready for an amazing day. That was when I was a kid. Now I'm 44 years old. My greatest joy on Christmas morning is hoping that the kids will sleep in a little bit extra that morning, that they won't come bursting into Dad's room at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5:30 saying, "Hey, Dad, Santa Claus was here. Come out and see the crumbs on the plate. Come out and see there's packages and presents that weren't here. The elves on the shelves, they've gone back to the North Pole. Praise be to God, it's Christmas." And I'm like, yeah, praise be to God, it's Christmas. Can Daddy get about 30 more minutes of sleep? And the kids will come running in, and it's a tradition now, the little ones especially. Even Austin and Tana do it, and it gets a little heavy when they're this old, but they just jump on their dad until Dad gets up. They just jump on the bed. Now, when they're jumping, they're hollering. What do you think they're hollering to me? Go to sleep. Stay asleep. No. They're saying, "Wake up, Dad. Wake up. Get up. It's time. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's Christmas Day, and it can't start without you coming out." And so that is the cry that they give to me. Awaken. And it is the cry that God gives us this Christmas season as we focus on this idea as Rolling Plains, that it's our prayer, the leadership's prayer of this church, my prayer of this church, of you and of me on this Advent season, is that we would experience God's tug on our heart, crying out to us, "Awaken, wake up to the amazing life that I want to give to you, because this is the day that the Lord has made." And He wants us to wake up every single day with this attitude of awakening to His amazing wonder. Every day, would you awaken to my presence? Would you awaken to my authority, my glory that's all around you? Would you awaken to my unconditional love that's there for you every single step of the way? Would you awaken to my goodness and my power and my provision? That's why Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. When he says these words, he says, "Wake up! Wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now, he's not talking to the physically dead. He's talking to those of us that are walking around maybe spiritually dead or spiritually empty. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He said, "Be filled with my Spirit." Be ready for this day that I have made for you. Now, if we're honest, we struggle from time to time getting up out of bed, don't we? Not just on Christmas morning, but how about Monday morning? We struggle to arise and to awake with cheerful eyes and a smile on our face, ready to go for a week of work or trials or whatever is coming in your day. But I think it's even more than that. It's not just about physically waking up, but it's about God tugging on our hearts, the heartstrings of our life, hollering to us to wake up every single day, like my kids were doing to me. Wake up to the light of Christ that has come to shine on us, because a lot of us, we're just in the bed of life. We're just asleep when it comes to what's going on around us. And God is saying, wake up. The light of Christ has come is to shine on you. I want to bring in my presence and my glory. I want to bring it upon your life. That's why we celebrate the song Emmanuel come Christmas time. It's the reminder that God is with us. He's saying, I'm here and I'm shouting to you to wake up. And that's what the birth of Jesus is all about. The birth of Jesus is God shouting, I love you. He's shouting it from the mountaintops. I love you. And the reason why God is shouting is because many of us are asleep on the inside. We're asleep to his power. We're asleep to his presence. We're asleep to the joy and the hope that only God can bring and has delivered into us. Now, from time to time, we have a little bit of excitement. From time to time, we have a little bit of joy. We have a little bit of hope. But whatever it is that we do have oftentimes is temporary, and it's fleeting and fleeing away. You know, that lasting joy and that lasting hope always just seems to be out of reach. It always seems to be somewhere out in the future that we haven't gotten to yet. And if we can only get to there, then we'll find lasting joy and happiness. If I can only get to Friday, then life is going to be so much better. If I can only get to being able to afford that purchase that I really want, or that I really want for my child or my spouse, then life will be so much better. If I could just have more money, if Christmas break would just get here sooner, then I would be happier and life would be good. And so it's this dangling carrot that's out in front of us that we never really get to. And meanwhile, that kind of attitude and atmosphere inside of us creates a worn out and tired and weary soul, oftentimes racked with fear and concern, and we find ourselves just kind of stuck in a rut on the inside. We're just kind of going through the motions on the inside. And so what happens is that we appear alive on the outside, but we're kind of dying on the inside. It's kind of like we're walking around as the spiritual walking dead. The spiritual walking dead, where we're functionally alive on the outside, but on the inside, that the enemy is just tearing us apart and tearing at us, and we're miserable, and we're stuck, and we're struggling, and we're filled with fear, and we're like a functioning human being or a functioning Christian. What do I mean by that? Maybe some of you have heard the term functioning alcoholic before. And there are a lot of people that I've talked to that have dealt with alcoholism before and the struggle of alcoholism. And some of us here today at the first service and here today at the 9:45 and here today at the 11 o'clock, some of you know what I'm talking about because you've battled the addiction of alcohol. Some of you are struggling with it right now and you understand what I mean when I say a functioning alcoholic. You see, a functioning alcoholic can have a drink or even be somewhat intoxicated or a little bit abuzzed and still be able to go to work. Still be able to drive a car, even though maybe they shouldn't be in that moment. Still able to kind of try to care for their kids as much as they can. Still try to get the grocery shopping done. You see, on the outside, they're functioning. On the outside, we're functioning, but on the inside, we're a mess. And yet the world doesn't necessarily know it. That means we're a functioning alcoholic in that moment. Let's just be honest. While we're not all functioning alcoholics, I believe most of us have been in a cycle in our life where we're just a functional human being. We're just a functioning Christian, a functioning, quote-unquote, Christ follower, where on the outside, we're shouting love of Jesus, but on the inside, we're joyless and powerless, and we're living directionless lives. We're just going through the motions, and what happens is that Christmas becomes an excuse for us to perpetuate that and to continue to go through the motions, because kind of Christmas becomes this Novocaine to numb the pain temporarily in our lives, to bring us some temporary relief around our problems and our emptiness and our power and our joylessness. And so we throw ourselves at the ideas of packages and punch and presents and parties, and it kind of becomes this narcotic that gives our life a high. And the problem is, come January, that's why our life crashes down. And so what God wants us to do this Christmas season, this Advent season, is to enjoy all that, but to not go through the motions. To enjoy all that, but to truly have a God encounter that evokes the power of the Spirit of God in our lives to do a new work and a fresh thing. That we don't go through this Advent season ignoring our thirsty souls that are desperate for God to awaken us and fill us with His power and the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's right. God's great desire is for His power to live in you. That's God's great desire if you're taking notes. You can find them on your smartphone at the Bible, the Bible app. And on there, you can go to events and you'll find some notes there, or you can look at them right there in your bulletin. But God's desire is for his power to live in you and for him to shout to you, don't you know that this is the day that the Lord has made? Wake up! Wake up and see what I'm doing. In Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 37, the Bible says this about Mary. Now, before I get into this actual scripture, let me set the tone for you. You remember the angel of the Lord showed up to Mary and delivered the amazing news to her, this amazing news that she is pregnant with child and that it is to be Christ the Lord and he's going to be the Savior of all nations. And Mary's hearing this and she's going, uh-huh. And what is my role? She says, well, you're going to be giving birth. As a matter of fact, you're with child right now. I made this happen. And Mary's kind of like, well, how is that possible? I'm a virgin. And the Bible even says here, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not even know a man? I don't know a man. I haven't been with a man. We know the Bible tells us, filled with fear. Because the angel comes and says, fear not. Have no fear. In verse 35, it goes on here. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit is how this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is what? Nothing is impossible. Nothing will be impossible for God. And so Mary has this thing going on in her life. She has this struggle and this trial that she doesn't know about. She's filled with fear and she's afraid and she's like, God, how are you going to do this thing? I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. I don't know how I'm going to function through this whole thing. And so she's kind of just functioning in this moment in her life. What happens is that when you look at this, she's kind of asleep to the power of God. She's asleep to what God's going to do. She's asleep to God's plan. She's really asleep to the presence of what God is going to do in her life. And she is in need of being awakened. She's in need of an awakening. And so God is basically giving her that in this moment in this scripture. He's saying, listen, wake up. I've got this. You're talking to the God of the universe here. I've got this in the bag. I'm going to fill you with my power. I'm going to fill you with my strength, the Spirit of God. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to come over you, and he's going to overshadow you. I've got this. I'm going to fill you with my power. It's going to indwell you so much that you're going to feel covered over, and that anything that comes your way, you're going to be able to not only make it through, but honor me in the process. So awaken. Wake up to this, Mary. Oh, and by the way, if you're still not there, Mary, I want to tell you about your relative Elizabeth, because you know that she's barren. You remember that? Well, she's with child, and she's going to give birth to John the Baptist. How about that for God's power? And so he gives her an example, and he says, hey, wake up to this. Open your eyes. See what I'm doing. Awaken to what I'm doing, and awaken to the power of my possibility. And that's exactly what happens to Mary in that moment, in that God conversation. Mary has an awakening in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Look at look at this amazing response. Look at her amazing response in verse 38. She says, okay, all right, I'm ready to go. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. I'm ready to go for you to do this new thing. I feel powered up. I feel ready to go. I know that you have this in the bag in your hands. Let's do this. So the question is, what turned doubt into belief? What turned impossibility into possibility. For her, what turned a powerless existence in this challenge to a powerful belief that God is going to come through? What turned her being dead to the power of God on the inside to being alive in the power of God? The answer is quite simple. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit that we know according to God's word, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, came upon her and filled her and indwelled her and awakened her to God's overshadowing presence, his overshadowing possibility, and the overshadowing hope that only God can give. And her response to that was amazing. She's like, let's do it. Let's go. I'm ready. I now understand how you're going to do this. And like Mary, we need to experience that power of the Spirit of God to fill us and to awaken us to God's amazing abundance and activity in our life, to the point where we understand every single day we wake up, all things are possible no matter what our struggle is, no matter how weary we are, no matter how much we want to just go through the motions that day. We know that God has come in Jesus Christ, and with him comes the power of the Holy Spirit. Because some of you at this point in time, you're kind of like, now wait a second, hold on, back up. You mean we're going to be talking a little bit about the Holy Spirit over the course of Advent? Some of you are just holding the white flag. Say, listen, I thought this was all about baby Jesus because, hey, listen, it's a lot more easy to talk about a baby that's in a manger 2,000 years ago than it is to talk about a personal God that wants to fill me with the Spirit of God. I thought this was just about baby Jesus. Am I in the right church, right? I thought it was just about baby Jesus, but it's not. Think about this. You know, some of you are like, well, Pentecost hasn't even come yet. We haven't even gotten to the book of Acts. That doesn't come until, you know, February or March. Well, hey, listen, the Spirit of God came with Jesus, and Jesus is a part of the Spirit of God. As Jesus has always existed, as we see in the prophecies in the Old Testament, and always will exist, so has the Spirit of God that wants to do a work in us. They came together at Christmas time. That's what we celebrate. They're like peanut butter and chocolate. It's like a Reese's Cup commercial. They're just meant to go together, and they go together, and when you experience the sweetness of God and the sweet taste of God in your life, you experience both the work that Christ did on the cross for you, but you also experience the work of the Spirit of God that he wants to do in you. You see, Jesus came to do a work for you, and now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and now he's given you the presence of the Spirit of God through the Holy Spirit to do a work in you. And so this is what we celebrate come Christmas time. The problem is that we can get so focused on sweet baby Jesus in the manger, yet we can still live a powerless existence. We can still be stuck going through the motions, even though we might know Jesus. We can still be stuck being racked with sin and filled with fear and worry and concern, even though we don't know Jesus, because we have not experienced an empowerment of the Spirit of God in our lives. So like Mary, God wants to fill you to the full measure of his fullness in the power of the Holy Spirit and give us an awakening. All of his glory and all of his power he wants living in us so that we see all things are possible. So that we experience the power of his provision, that we have a hope that is absolutely endless and a spirit of joy that can't be taken down by any trial that comes our way. And so that we wake up every day like a child on Christmas morning saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm ready. As Mary would say, your servant is listening. Do unto me as you have said. Because the great challenge that we have in the world that we live in is that we live in a dark world. We live in a world that is dark and is desperate and in desperate need of the light of awakening. And when you look around this world today, you don't have to look too far. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, we see the prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. What's another word for arise? Wake up! Awaken! Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. What God is saying is open up your eyes, see the pain, see the suffering, and see the trials and challenges in this world. Turn on the news for 10 seconds. Just open up the door to your community and see what's going on. Hear the stories that you hear at the schools or at the local not-for-profit agencies or that you witness and experience at the grocery store, whatever it might be. People are fractured in our nation. People are angry. They're hurt. They're bitter. There's a lot of resentment. And you just observe the way that people talk and the way that people do to one another and treat each other. It's as if we're a world living in the dark, just going through the motions, and God is shouting, awaken to my light that brings light into the darkness of this world. You see, that's what Jesus is. He's a light, and he's come to bring an awakening. You see, the birth of Jesus Christ is God shouting, I love you. Now, there's times where I need to go and make sure that Austin's up for the day, whether he's got a Saturday morning basketball practice or whatever it might be, and make sure he's good for school. I'll open his door, and I'll kind of shout at him, hey, Austin, wake up, time to get up. And he's a pretty sound sleeper, so I got to make sure that I at least get some kind of response, at least he rolls over or some kind of verbal acknowledgement. Now, what I don't do is I don't leave the light off and then close the door and walk away, assuming he's going to get up. What do? I flip on the switch. Then I walk away, and because I know this, if I can get him going by kind of shouting to him, hey, wake up, and then I got the light on, I know that the light is going to penetrate his eyelids and force his eyelids open, whether he necessarily wants to or not, because that's what light does in the darkness. The light opens our eyes, and it's the same with God and Jesus Christ. As he cries out to the world in the name of Jesus, he's shouting to us, wake up, and he's flipping the switch of Jesus Christ on in our life, and it's hard to stay asleep when the light is overcoming the darkness. That's the amazing nature of God and Jesus Christ. He is light, and his light always overcomes the darkness, and so Christmas, you could say, is God flipping the light switch on in our life. It's God flipping the switch. When he gives us Jesus, he's saying, here's the light. Open your eyes. I'm going to make it hard for you to stay asleep because I'm not going to leave this dark world dark anymore. I want to turn on the light. And so in John chapter 1, verse 5, and also 9 and 11, we see that Jesus has come as light. The light shines in the darkness, the Bible says, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Jesus, and we're also talking about Christ followers. We're also talking about people that claim to be in love with God, to be God followers. We're also recognizing here that when Jesus was born, it flipped the switch, because he came as light to awaken a dark world to the power of God's presence. Now, the problem is, according to God's word here, is that God's creation didn't recognize it. Why? Because people are sleepwalking, because we're spiritually asleep. We're just kind of going through the motions. And when we're living in a dark world and we're living in darkness, it's easy to get tripped up. It's easy to run smack dab into life and to run into walls and trials and challenges everywhere because we're stuck walking in the dark. That's why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to bring light, to open our eyes. I can tell you what it's like to try to walk through a house with the lights off. You ever try to do this? I don't recommend it. You see, oftentimes I'll, in the morning, and not try to wake up Aaron and the rest of the family, be getting ready, and I'll leave the door open just a little bit in the bedroom when we go to bed at night, because if we close the door all the way, the silly cats come to the door and just scratch at it all night long. And when you open the door to let them in, and then you close the door behind them, then 5 minutes later, they want to scratch at the door to be let out. And it's just this game that cats play, which is another part of the reason of the top 10 list of why I love cats. Okay, but so we have to leave the door just cracked open. We don't want it open all the way because we don't want the noises and sounds from the kitchen and the light from the kitchen to kind of pour into our bedroom. So when I wake up in the morning, that door is halfway open, and sometimes I forget about that. I kind of see the lights in the kitchen through the opening of the door, but I don't remember that the door is all the way open. So every once in a while, I'll one smack dab into the door jamb to the end of the door. And the problem with that is the door goes from the ceiling all the way to the floor, and it and the entire force of your body runs into that thing. It smashes your nose. You get hit in the torso, the forehead, the chin, and you stumble and you struggle. Sisters and brothers, I'm here to tell you that I think a lot of us are walking through life like that. You know, we're stuck in the dark, and we're running into obstacles. We're getting knocked down. We're running into walls, and it's because we haven't opened our minds and our eyes and our spirit to the power of God in the light of Jesus Christ, but we also haven't invited the power of the Spirit of God to come and to fill us in all the fullness of what God wants to do. There's a problem in this world. You see, the problem in this world starts with his own, it says. It says, but his own do not receive him. It's God followers. It's quote-unquote Christians or Christ followers. You see, what happens is that we find Jesus, and when we find Jesus, we kind of do the church thing. We do the ritual thing. We put a cross around our neck, and we make Facebook posts about Scripture and other things, and all the while, we're just kind of going through the motions because we fail to live in the power of the Spirit of God in our life. We fail to live a powerful life filled with the Spirit and dwelling and moving in us. And so what happens is we kind of just play church. We kind of become a functional Christian or a functional life that we try to live, and we still end up living in fear even though we have Jesus. We still accept and tolerate sin in our life, and we gossip a little bit here and there. We're critical here and there. We ignore the needs of others around us even though we might have Jesus, because we're not living in the Spirit-filled power of God that indwells us, and we're not the Holy Spirit light bearers that we're called to be. And so God is shouting, wake up! He's not shouting, wake up, to people that don't know God. He's shouting, wake up, to my church. He says, but it is my own people that do not recognize me, even though I've sent the light of Jesus Christ. And so this Advent season, God is shouting to his church. He's shouting to you and to me to wake up, to wake up. Because for the world to experience an awakening, and we see the need in our world today. We look at our nation, we look at our government, we look at the world, and we look at third world countries, and we say, man, somebody has got to do something about that. Why does it so? You see, what happens is it starts all the way back to the Christ followers in the local church. And if the world is going to experience an awakening, it needs to start in the community. And if the community is going to experience an awakening, it needs to start in that local church. And if it's going to start in that local church, it needs to start in God's people. And that's how we experience God's great awakening and allowing his light to shine throughout the entire world, to allow his Spirit to move in our hearts, to see the sin in our life for what it is and to give it to God and name it, to pray hard and to ask God to come and to fill us in new and fresh ways, to take risks and steps of faith like we've never taken before, for us to be able to see that we are the light that brings the brightness of dawn into people's lives. That's what Scripture says. He says, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Listen, you want to change the government? allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life. That's what it says. This is the kind of influence you have. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn when you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember having my eyes opened wide when I went to the seminar called Dreamland. It was at the Seacrest Auditorium back in October, and my eyes were open to the opiate epidemic that's not just going on in the other county. It's not just going on in that other state or down south. It's happening right here in our neighborhood. It's happening with some of our family members and friends and challenges and struggles. We're seeing it right here in Zanesville, the opiate epidemic that's out there. And it was an eye-opener to me. And I said, oh, God, would you open my eyes to see the needs of our community? And see, awakening isn't just about you getting right with God. Awakening is about you opening your eyes and having God open your eyes to the needs around you to say, would you allow me to be the brightness of your dawn to the people that are around me in my life? You see, when God's people experience an awakening of the Spirit of God, it just spills out of us. The light can't be contained, and it pours out of us into everyone else around us. That's what it did for Mary, and that's what it did when she went to visit Elizabeth. You remember that relative that the angel reminded her about that said, oh, by the way, you're struggling with your pregnancy and how you're going to deliver the Savior of the world even though you're a virgin? How about Elizabeth? She's supposed to be barren, but yet she's with child. She's actually carrying a herald, John the Baptist, who's going to be coming and making a way for your child, Jesus. And so what does she do after she has this encounter with the angel? Well, the Bible tells us she hurries off. She hurries off to the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And by this time, Zechariah has been silenced because he's basically showed the angel that he has no faith that his wife could possibly be pregnant. And Mary kind of knocks on the door, but does one of those, hey, I'm here, knocking with one hand and opening the door with the other and just walking right into the front room. You guys ever have visitors like that? Or friends or family? That's how our life group is on Wednesday nights. It's awesome. We tell you, don't even bother knocking on the door or ringing the doorbell. Just open the front door and come right in. And hopefully our family will remember that it's a life group night that night. And we won't be doing something else. And so in that moment, Mary walks into Elizabeth's house in verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see this? There's that pesky Spirit of God thing showing up right in the, that's right there to mess with our Advent conversation in just baby Jesus. And this Holy Spirit thing shows up in her life. And oh, by the way, the Bible also references the fact that when she's told about John the Baptist being born, it says that he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit too. Now, what you see is that you see an awakening moving from one person to the next. Mary shows up fresh off of her awakening of the power of the Spirit of God in her life and the power of the possibility. And all it takes for her is to walk into Elizabeth's house to be in her presence. And Elizabeth's so blessed by the power of God in Mary's life that it transfers into her life. It just moves into her life. It just pours out of Mary's life into her life. And it causes her to have an awakening. And this is what happens when you experience the indwelling power of the Spirit of God. When you have the light of Christ in your life, it just spills out and pours out into everyone else around you, out into your church, out into your community, and out into your world. That's right. An awakening in the world starts with us. An awakening in the world starts with us. I love this description of how it says that Elizabeth felt the baby leap in her. She felt John the Baptist, her son, leap in her. And what a reminder to us that God was on the move in her life when Mary stepped on the scene. God was on the move. Something was moving in her. Something was different. Something was new, and something was fresh. And Elizabeth experienced that. She felt the power and the presence of God. I remember when I was at a conference, a church conference, with several colleagues, other pastors of mine within the United Methodist Church. Back in September, we went to Franklin, Tennessee, and this conference was all about Awaken. It was called Awaken. And it was about this idea of us as leaders being awakened to the power of God in our life all over again. And when I was there, I encountered and I felt God leaping in my soul in a new and a fresh experience and expression that I hadn't felt in a long time. And not only did it happen in me, but it was happening in my colleagues. And it was kind of moving throughout the room. And many pastors were there, lay people from churches. And you could just feel the Spirit of God moving. We were singing our guts out. We were praying and inviting the power of the Holy Spirit. We were crying out to God to come and fall afresh on us. Pastors were confessing sin to one another. We were worshiping. We did it for 3 hours one night. And it seemed like 30 minutes. Some of you are thinking sometimes it gets to the 55-minute mark here in Rolling Plains on Sunday morning. I think, when is Pastor John going to be done? I'm here to tell you, we were there for 3.5 hours, and it seemed like 30 minutes because we were praying, we were crying out, we were confessing sin, we were worshiping, we were calling about God to come and do a fresh work in us, and we felt the Holy Spirit move, and I felt something jump inside of me. something jump inside of me like Elizabeth felt that day when she felt the power of God leap inside of her. And I'm here to ask you this question, and this is the question of the day. This is the question for your Advent season. As you're going through the shopping and the hurrying and the scurrying from parties to packages to presents to punch, when was the last time you were so gripped by the power and the presence of God that He leaped inside of your soul? When was the last time you felt God leaping inside of your soul and you found yourself living with a new hunger, a new experience of God, that you felt the power of God at bear in your life? Like a kid on Christmas morning, you just couldn't wait to wake up to the wonder and the power of God because you felt God shouting to you, "Wake up, this is the day that I have made. Let's go, let's go." So it's moving beyond just going through the motions. That's what we want to be this Advent season, is moving beyond just going through the motions of Christmas and being awakened to God's power and presence. In Ephesians, I want to go on to verse 15 to 17. Now, you remember verse 14, that was our opening scripture. He says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I want you to experience an awakening, God's saying. On into verse 15, here's how it's going to happen. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And so this Advent season, this Christmas season, we want to focus on these three pieces of God's awakening for our life. Number one, He says plainly in Scripture, pay attention to how you live, because how you live matters. He says, pay attention to how you live. Seek my word. Seek my ways. Pray for my wisdom in your life between what is right and what is wrong. A right way to live and a wrong way to live. He says, live a life of obedience by shedding the sin in your life and giving that to me and taking on more of my holiness in your life. Pay attention to how you live. That's part of an awakening, is confessing our sins, being honest before God of what we've done wrong so that He can do something new in our life that's right. Number two, He says, make the most of every opportunity. In verse 16, make the most of every opportunity. So all things, all circumstances, all people that come right in front of you are God's assignment. So He says, live every day, wake up with the holy anticipation every day with your eyes wide open that God is on the move and that He's about to do something brand new. Like Mary did with Elizabeth, He's going to use you to potentially change a life for His glory. Third and finally, the Bible tells us in verse 17, seek God's will in your life. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Seek God's will in your life this Advent season. That means if you're going to seek God's will, it means you need to let go of your will. If you're going to seek God's control in your life, you need to let go of your control and let God lead you and align you to a life of His purposes, like Mary did when she experienced her awakening and said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." It's an invitation that she gives to come, Holy Spirit, have your way with me, fill me and use me and move me. It's like my children on Christmas morning. God is waking you up as they shout to me, "Awaken." He's flipped on the switch because He sent us His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us the light to live in this dark world. So let's not just go through the motions. Let's have that light penetrate our eyelids and open our spiritual lives to be awakened to the Spirit of power and His purpose and hope and joy in our life that can spill out into the rest of the world. The invitation to the Spirit of God is to come, Holy Spirit, come. Come have your way in me anew and afresh. Come have your way at Rolling Plains Church anew and afresh. Come do it in our communities and come do it in our world. But it starts with us and His church. And so here's some action steps. Number one, invite the Holy Spirit to fill you to the full measure of God. Invite the Holy Spirit to fill you to the full measure of God. It's a prayer. Cry out to God. Number two, serve someone. Maybe you want to ring the bell at Walmart this Saturday. My family loves to do that. We'll be there at 10 o'clock this Saturday, ringing the bell at Walmart. And I invite you to sign up for an hour too. Maybe you want to adopt a Christmas family through Helping Hands, and that table's out back. Maybe you know that you want to spend less on things that really don't matter in the long run for a relative or family member come Christmas or for yourself, but you're going to take that money and you're going to give more to those who have need. See, with Advent Conspiracy, we're not asking you to do more. We're just asking you to spend less. We're not asking you to do something new. We're just saying take the resources that you would normally pour into things. It's billions and billions of dollars that we spend on Christmas each and every year. And how many of us really need that? When was the last time you remember what you got for Christmas a year later, 2 years later? But we can give something meaningful. Do you remember when you saw that video that we bought? We're building a church in Vietnam? you know, that we've got meals for children in Liberia, that we got educational resources for refugees in Syria. That's memorable because it changes lives. Number three, maybe you want to share the Christmas scriptures with your family. Sit down and open up the book of Luke. Go through chapters 1 and 2. Open up the book of John. Go to chapter 1. Open up the book of Matthew and see the birth of Jesus and notice the presence of the power of the Spirit of God and watch what he does. I'm praying that you have an amazing beginning to this Advent season. And I'm praying that God brings an awakening into our lives like never before. Praise be to God. Amen.